CBS and Beer Media, in association with STWFTV, the podcasting network, we present to you BS and Bourbon. And now, here's Craig and Dale.
Oh yeah, Craig. Still off season, but we are reviewing.
There is no off season, Dale. There is no off season.
We are reviewing the 2019 draft. Craig, just off the top of your head, what's your feelings about this draft?
Oof. So I didn't realize how bad it was gutted. Like, there are garbage, just places to pick. So when you consider how bad our picks were, I think we actually did okay. I love Eric McCoy. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this draft, man, it's not great. But if you get a starting caliber player that you, mm-hmm. know, you can build around, I mean, that's something. And we're going to argue about CJ GJ a little bit.
Okay.
We're going to argue about Caden Ellis a little bit. I have very strong feelings about both of those players.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to be reminded who Alizé Mack was. It sounds like a liquor you'd have on the bar top right next to the Hypnotic. You got the Alizé Mack.
Yeah.
Saquon Hapton. I kind of remember that name. Yeah. I mean, we'll get into it all, but man, first blush, man, we went all in 2018 in that, mm-hmm. year that we definitely should have won the Super Bowl. And we it looks like it in 2019's picks.
Yeah. Blame Davenport for,
blame Vinovich, but Davenport was part of it.
Well, yeah, because I still believe we had a better wide receiver. We offense looks better, and we do our thing.
Imagine that season if instead of the ghost of Ted Ginn Jr., it was DJ Moore taking those.
Yeah, exactly. Oh well, it didn't happen. So
didn't. Oh man, what a bummer.
Let's get into this draft, Craig. 2019, we did not have a first round pick because we traded away that first round pick for the rights to draft Davenport. And so our first pick in 2019 was in the second round, and we went with the center out of Texas A&M, SEC guy, Eric McCoy.
A&M is barely SEC. I still don't count them. Are you going to start counting Texas and Oklahoma now too?
Hey, might as well.
Man, no first round pick, no third round pick, no fifth round pick.
Mm-hmm.
This is just brutal. And despite how brutal those picks were, Eric McCoy is a hell of a player. He's really good. The things that he struggled with most throughout his career were when he had to make the line calls. His best seasons were with Breeze when Breeze did that. Mm-hmm. Now with our new quarterback in the building, Derek Carr, Carr is taking those responsibilities away from him. He's going to be able to kind of play a little bit more freely. I know the Underhills of the world have already talked about this, but we record late, so we're not going to break all the news. I love him. I build around him. He's going to be here for a long time.
Yeah. Tell me about making the line calls as a center.
Yeah, so most of the offenses that I've played in, the actual protection scheme is called out by the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
The only things that we're doing as the center is we're communicating with our guards and to our tackles. So there's where the mic is. That's where this guy's creeping up. Watch this guy. Okay, well, there's two guys there. They're stacking the gaps over here. We got a fan left. We got a fan right. But the actual, like, the actual structure of how we're doing it, you know, whether we're, you know, collapsing one side, keeping the line flat over here, that's dictated by, well, originally from the coach on the sideline, but the quarterback is making those adjustments and making those calls. When the center does that for himself, it's not necessarily that he doesn't know what he's doing. It's that he doesn't have the same vantage point. He's not going to see everything as well. Some centers are really good at it. Some centers can kind of see everything, you know, from their perspective, but it is a lot harder when you're squat down, you know, with 300-pound monsters on each side of you, a nose tackle breathing in your face mask, and you got to make sure that you can see, okay, well, I see this guy over here. All right, that outside backer's up on the line. He's outside the tackle. Hopefully my tackle is communicating down the line to me so that I can kind of dictate all that. When you're a quarterback and you're in the shotgun, you can see all of it much easier. And if you have the kind of guy that can manage that, like the Breezes of the world, like the Bradys, where all these great players that were able to navigate that, mm-hmm. it just makes the O-line's job a lot easier. They can focus more on beating their guy, sealing the edge, doing all these things, as opposed to, you know, coaching while playing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, look, it's a starter. He's still a cornerstone of the team. And you got him in the second round. I mean, that seems to be a steal to me. So
great pick. Fantastic pick.
So the next pick, CJ Johnson. This was a fourth round pick. He could have still been a guy who we were relying on this year to be, you know, a cornerstone of the team. But, you know, we had some stuff go on last year where we won a new contract and everything like that. And so we ended up trading him, but he was still a critical part of the Philadelphia team. I mean, a good player. So I think it was a good draft pick. Just overall thoughts about CJ here, man.
So I don't think that he's a bad pick because he ended up being, you know, he's a fourth round pick. He ended up being okay. I disagree wildly about how valuable he was to the Saints. He didn't start for the Saints. He was the slot guy. So he was the third corner or third safety, whatever you want to call him. He didn't win any of the safety jobs. He didn't win any of the corner jobs. He was used a lot better in Philadelphia, to be honest with you. That's when he really succeeded in Philly. They were able to kind of line him up and let him do what he was good at.
Why do you say not a starter? Because, I mean, he played in a slot, and
and we usually have a third guy out there. But, yeah. I mean, if you look at it on paper in a base defense, he's – okay, I guess technically a starter, but he was never going to be a shutdown corner. He was never going to be our, you know, free safety that was going to take the ball away. He was a good player at what he did, but he was never worth the headache. He was never worth the getting punched in the face by his own teammates. he was always a problem, and it kind of only boiled over when he wasn't getting the money. You know, then he kind of took it out on everybody.
Right.
But, man, he was good at what he did, but I was never as upset about losing him as everyone else was. So, you almost got nothing for him. Yeah, because he needed to get out. Once a player wants out, your leverage is gone. You're never going to get a third-round pick for him.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, it sucks. We didn't really get much back for him, but you know, that is what it is. But solid draft pick still.
The pick itself is fine. It's a good pick.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go to the next one, and the next pick is Saquon Hampton. This is a safety out of Rutgers, and this was a sixth round pick. Of course, he's no longer in the NFL. He is now playing for the New Orleans Breakers, actually.
Is he really? So, that's cool. Cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so with the Breakers, and I guess that's good for them, right?
Yeah.
Staying home.
Yeah, and it's cool. Hometown guy, you know, kind of. That's fun. You see, what the Saints did wrong here is that sixth-round pick, they picked a guy from Rutgers. No, that would be the mistake that they made.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I agree there. Rutgers.
Right. All right. So for me, you want to get somebody who played either elite competition or went to a really small school, and you're looking for a diamond in the rough. Rutgers is too big to be the small school diamond in the rough, and it's too small to be a legit school. It's like exactly the purgatory level of you don't get good players there.
Yep. So definitely, I'm going to say, hey, that's a bad pick.
I mean, it's a sixth round pick that didn't end up making the team. It's not even a bad pick. This draft is so much different than the 2018 draft for me, because 18, you know, we traded up, we got the two first round picks that we used on that player that I don't want to talk about anymore because it makes me tired. And this one, I think we did pretty well, all things considered, of who we pulled out of this pick. I mean,
a
two, a four, a six, and two sevens. That was our whole draft. You know, that's garbage. That is terrible. That is Bucky's brisket level terrible. And the fact that we pulled eventually three starters out of that, I mean, that's pretty impressive if you're being honest. I mean, draft is hurt by the amount of picks that we had and the level of those picks. It's not hurt by the selections. I don't think that any of these are bad picks.
You're going to stop slandering Bucky's brisket, bro.
Until I get a good Bucky sandwich, I'm going to slander the hell out of that gas station.
Y'all send us something on Twitter. let Craig know he's wrong about Bucky's brisket, okay?
If you love Bucky's brisket, you find me on Twitter and explain to me that you don't know how to taste good food.
All right. The next pick here. We're looking at Alize Mack. This was a tight end out of Notre Dame in the seventh round.
Fighting Irish, yeah.
Yeah, so seventh round pick, Alize Mack. I was excited when we got him because, you know, of course, some highlight I saw at Notre Dame made me think, you know, hey, this guy's going to be the next Irv Smith, you know.
I mean, it helps that Notre Dame plays like three good teams per year.
Yeah.
And when they play their other seven tune-up games, yeah, they're able to post a lot of stats. God, I hate Notre Dame. I mean, it was one of those things. Like, it was an upside kind of draft pick. You know, again, seventh round pick right. Number 231.
Yeah.
What do you want from me? It didn't pan out. It's not a bad pick. You know, you took a swing.
I want Colston. That's what I want.
You want a Colston every seventh round. You want the best seventh round pick ever.
That's what I want. Right? Okay, I'm not asking for too much. Okay.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah, you're asking for fine brisket at a gas station. That's what you're asking for.
But if I'm not mistaken, Alize Mack is still in the NFL. I want to say he's playing for the Titans right now.
Is that a fact?
Let me double check that. Alize Mack.
It's a smooth name.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You go to the bar, use a fake name, talking to the girls. I can see, hey, I'm Alize Mack.
Yeah, Tennessee Titans. Ah, look at that.
Man, let's pretty good. That's a good draft right there.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's still in the league. I think that's good for, you know, the Saints drafting him. So
it's a good league. Again, it's a good dude. This draft is way better than I thought it was looking at it. This is a good draft.
He didn't really make our team. Like, well, I want to say he was on a practice squad for a little bit and then he was on like Kansas City after that. So
Well, I think if I'm not mistaken, in 2019, this is right around when we got Jared Cook.
Okay.
So they might have just been harder to make the team at tight end. I think we still had Josh Hill, maybe. So yeah,
probably so.
It was probably
Peyton, a little hard. Peyton loved Josh Hill too, dude. So.
Yeah, he did. So yeah, it was just harder to make the team at tight end at that point. Still a good pick. Look at that. Seventh round pick, still in the NFL, you know, four years later. Good pick.
I guess this one's probably going to be the most controversial one because it's Caden Ellis, another seven round pick, linebacker out of Idaho. Mm. This guy pretty much did the Trey Hendrickson. In the contract year, he shows up, balls out, and he gets money elsewhere. And we decide not to give him the money and keep him in house. So we're going to see if we're right about that or not. But your thoughts on Caden Ellis?
So this is another guy that Saints fans on the whole like a lot more than I do.
Okay.
Because I think he got the good sack numbers and he was very good at you know, pass rushing in those situations. But he was only on the field because somebody got hurt. He was only going to be on the field this year if somebody got hurt. You know, we don't play three linebackers out there. So you're going to have DeMario Davis and you're going to have Pete Warner. Which of those two guys are you going to bench for Caden Ellis? You're just not, you know, okay. And how often do we got three linebackers on the field? It's just not something that we do.
True.
And he could be a great player. And I don't think that he is, but he could be a great player. But if he's not going to be on the field, what's it matter? Why are we going to break the bank for this guy? There were other places to spend that money. You know, the Saints have made some really calculating moves this offseason. And in a lot of ways, I think for the better. But I don't know that he would have been. Atlanta absolutely overpaid for the guy.
Yeah.
They're going to be putting him on trying to cover Alvin Kamara out of the backfield next year.
That's how they're going to try to use him instead of blitzing him?
You can blitz him every play. Is that what they're going to try to do with him? Because that's the only thing he knows how to do.
That's how he got paid.
Right? Well, they paid him as a starter. You can't blitz him every play. If he's going to be a starter, he's going to be on the field, right?
Listen, Dennis Allen figured out how to use him last year, and I think you want to continue with it, what he did last year.
So blitz him every play because he's garbage at everything else. He's not garbage. He was okay last year. He wasn't a bad player.
Maybe we should have done that with Bond to begin with.
Bond is in the next, you know, this is his year to be the next Caden Ellis, Trey Hendrickson. So maybe Bond makes the jump this year and does the exact same thing. They're the same kind of guy, right? They were both pass rushers that we moved to linebacker. Yeah. And then Caden Ellis was only good when we, what do? We had him rush the passer again.
Yeah. All you got to do.
We moved him into a linebacker, and then we made him a linebacker that rushed the passer.
All you got to do is insert a white linebacker at this position and let him rush the passer, and then boom, you get sacks. That's how
I don't know, man. Bond's got a little more pigment going on than Ellis did. Ellis whiter than me. I don't know about all that.
You don't think he could do it? That's what you're saying.
I think he's too athletic. He doesn't have enough moxie.
Not enough moxie for Bond. Okay, I got you. Okay, well, that's going to wrap up our
Before we move on, good pick, though. Seventh round pick. They just got a big second contract to go to a division rival. That's a good pick.
Yeah, so I mean, look at it. Around, then. Sure.
So Eric McCoy, good pick. CJ Gardner-Johnson, most people other than me are going to say good pick, right? Mm-hmm. Saquon Hampton, still playing for the Breakers, but okay, mm-hmm. we missed on that one.
Right.
But Alizé Mack, still in the league. Good pick. Caden Ellis, still in the league. Good pick. That's a solid draft, all things considered.
Okay.
Not all of them are playing for us, but like those players are, you know, four out of five are in the league right now.
So then that's the issue. We only have one of these guys still playing for the team right now.
Yeah.
And that's our problem.
But then again, looking down the list. So CJ, GJ, he didn't want to be here. That's a different discussion. Mm-hmm. Hampton, safety. We got safeties. Alizé Mack, he's not better than the tight ends we have. Caden Ellis, same conversation we just had. Do you need any of these guys still on your team? We got the one we need is McCoy, and we still have him.
Okay.
I don't know. I feel good. I feel way better about this draft right now than I thought I did coming into this. I looked at this list and I was about to cry. But
I mean, like those late picks are anything between the fourth round and seventh round. I mean, mm-hmm. those are your guys that you're building your depth with. And if those guys can remain on your team, well, especially at their depth contract.
Or their gambles, it's some of these guys, especially like Mac, they were going for a home run. He turned out okay, and okay wasn't good enough to make the team.
I mean, are you really shooting for a home run in the seventh round? At that point, you just want a guy to make the team.
Well, but I think that's why you pick a guy like that in the seventh round. You don't assume a seventh round pick makes the team. You pick a seventh round pick that has a huge upside that you think you can unlock. Otherwise, what are you doing?
Or you can just look to build depth in your special teams. That's the first thing we hear about a guy getting drafted in the sixth, seventh round, special teams. Oh, he's going to be great covering kicks or something like that. You know,
the Saints do appreciate their special teamers.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Okay, well, that wraps it up for us. Reviewing the 2019 draft. We'll be back with another topic at some point for sure. And look, the season is coming up, and you know, the beer run's gonna be back, and we'll see about the big show. But for sure, BS and Bourbon, beer chasing.
Thirsty, so we're getting the beer run back up soon.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But we're gonna be doing those things for sure. So all right, I am Dale. That's Craig. We'll see y'all later.
Remember to follow us on Twitter and Facebook at BS and Beer Media. Also, smash the like button on YouTube and share with friends.